Today with Joseph Prince.
We'll all be forever young, forever strong, and never sick again, praise God. For how long? For quite some time, amen. For quite some time. And we'll be in that body forever. The Bible says God, when he comes again, he will change our vile bodies unto his glorious body. The Christian position is not a position of looking to the grave. It's waiting for his son from heaven. The Apostle Paul in the book of Thessalonians says, we are waiting for his son from heaven. You're not to walk by sight. You are to walk by faith. The Pastor Prince, I'm not going to feel like God loves me. You know what he does? And he doesn't just love you. He loves you even as he loves Jesus. God. Greetings to all of you. Thanks for joining us today in a very special time in our church because it's the first time that we are live streaming as it goes out on Sunday. Then maybe, God planned for this so that the broadcast can go all over the world. Yes. Amen. And people can watch it live and be blessed. Amen. And more importantly, we just want to do what God wants us to do. So sometimes the Lord speaks to us and we do it. Sometimes he will constrain upon the world in such a way, although this virus is not of him. Let me repeat that. This virus is not of God. But God can always make use of what the devil does. Amen. He's like a dog on a leash. Amen. God will allow even moments like this to his glory, to the advantage of the church. Amen. So here we are. We are reaching out more and we are extending further. Who would have thought during the year of being the Lord of time and space? When I first received that from the Lord, you know, this is one theme of the year that I really don't feel like. I told the Lord this. In fact, I told some people that when I received that from the Lord, I said, Lord, do you have something more spiritual? This one, time and space, sounds so scientific. You know, it sounds like something that belongs to the of the time and space. And I'm not really a scientist, Lord, you know. So I want something more spiritual. But here you are. The Lord knows what he's saying. And he is the Lord of time and space. Amen. And I'm going to sit back, relax, and just watch the theme of the year once again. He is the Lord of time and space. Amen. Amen. So when I received this from the Lord early in the year, and the Lord gave me this picture of the Temple of Solomon being the church in its glorious days. Amen. The church at its best. The church in its peak efficiency according to the vision of the Father that he had. You know, God had the church in his heart. When God first made man, the church was already in his heart. It was a mystery. A church is not a building. The church of Jesus Christ is never concrete or wooden blocks. Amen. It is never that. It is always a coming of God's people together. Amen. We pray in Jesus' name that this whole coronavirus thing comes to an end. Yes. And I got a feeling that when it happens, it's going to happen quickly. Amen. Amen. So when you look at the time and space that the Lord gave us early this year. The spiral staircase that brings you into one chamber to another chamber. The Bible says the Temple of Solomon, there were chambers attached to the Temple of Solomon, which is the corporate body of Christ. But the three chambers reminds me of what the Lord said in the upper room. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. So the chambers are like all of us. The priests in those days live in those chambers. And it's like all of us, you know, we live so near the dwelling of God. How near can you get when you're at the Father's right hand? Amen. So we live in those chambers. And those chambers are the dwelling quarters of the priests, the Levites. You know, this second floor is where they have their rest place, their bedding is there. And the first floor is the grain, the wine, and the oil. That's where it's stored, in the first chamber. The Bible says the chambers become larger as it grows upwards. The first one is we have 5 cubits, and then the second floor is 6 cubits, and the third floor, the upper room, is 7 cubits, the perfect number. So the first floor is a storage of grain, wine, and oil. And it seems like when the Lord first gave this to me, I didn't realize how much that first floor is going to be open up in the first part of the year. Amen. Amen. The grain, the wine, and the oil. And we know that for us, it's not just physical. You know, when God gave, when the Lord spoke that blessing through Isaac upon his son, Jacob, he thought it was Esau he was blessing. Remember that? And the blessing was this: God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. And then he says this, and plenty of grain and wine. Plenty of grain and wine. But for his other son, later on, the boy came crying and says, you know, my brother stole my blessing from me. Don't you have any more blessing? And the father sort of searched right into his gunny sack and tried to find a blessing. And the father gave him what seems to be like a blessing, but it's not a blessing. It says, your dwelling shall be far from the fatness of the earth and from the dew of heaven. And there's no mention of all at all about the grain and the wine. Amen. So that tells us the firstborn blessing, the best blessing is the grain and the wine. But do you think for one moment it's talking about plenty of grain, like to make bread, to eat, and oil, as in olive oil? Because the land is abundant of grain, wine, and oil. In fact, Esau would definitely live in a place where they have grain, wine, and oil. So obviously it's something spiritual, and the father blessed him and says, God give you, my son, the firstborn blessing. The blessing that all of us are craving for is the firstborn blessing. Can I have a good amen? In fact, God wants his people to crave for that. In fact, God despised what Esau did, because Esau despised his birthright. He despised the firstborn blessing. And the firstborn blessing, the uniqueness is this: plenty of grain and wine. Plenty of grain and wine. It cannot be natural. So that's the communion right there, the Lord's Supper. And who would have thought that middle of last year when I did my tour all over America, the one message I was promoting was the grain and the wine, and how that has brought miracles, amen, untold miracles and healings into the lives of the body of Christ there in America, as well as also we've experienced here. And God is reviving this truth again. I think it's a precious truth. Amen. It's something so precious to God's heart. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. So you know what? I got to speak God's language of love. I cannot speak my language of love. If God feels that this is how he feels love, this is how he feels respected and honored and remembered and appreciated, we're going to do it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. This is our firstborn blessing. Let's seize upon it. Amen. Yeah. So the first part of the year, we see God opening up the first chamber. Show them the first chamber again. And the first chamber is full of grain, wine, and oil. So God is opening, and God is saying, all this evil in the world is nothing that the grain and the wine and the oil cannot cover. Yes. Amen? Yes. And the oil, we've touched on the oil. The oil in the Bible always represents the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the oil is the power of the Holy Spirit applied. And we've done that by anointing even the oil, which is a symbol. And don't despise the physical symbol, because even in the New Testament, let him call for the elders of the church, the Bible says, those who are sick, and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen? And that's New Testament. That's the church age. They still use physical oil. It's not the oil itself. It's the power of the Holy Spirit they are trusting in to get the job done. Amen? To bring healing to that sick person. Praise God. And the oil is also representative of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that we are kept by the power of God. We are protected by the Holy Spirit. Amen. In fact, the word used is sealed, sealed with the Holy Spirit. You know what's a seal? A seal in those days, when they sealed something, like Jesus' tomb was sealed, the rolling stone was sealed with a Roman seal. No one would dare to break that seal. That seal means it protects whatever is inside from theft, from being hurt, from injury. So a seal is a protection. Even in the last days, in the book of Revelation, the Bible says this, God spoke to the angels and says, hurt not, notice this, hurt not the wine and the oil. All right, those days are the days of vengeance. Those are the days, those days are not on us yet. In case you are wondering, this coronavirus is the days of the book of Revelation. No, we are not there yet. Jesus will come for us first. Amen. We'll all be transformed physically. Amen. 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 We have a glorious body. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We all look young, strong. And there's hope for you because turn to your neighbor and say, you'll be good looking then. Hallelujah. There's hope for you. Amen. We'll all be forever young, forever strong, and never sick again. Praise God. For how long? For quite some time. Amen. For quite some time. And we'll be in that body forever. The Bible says God, when He comes again, He will change our vile bodies unto His glorious body. The Christian position is not a position of looking to the grave. It's waiting for His Son from heaven. The Apostle Paul in the book of Thessalonians says, we are waiting for His Son from heaven. Amen. And we do not know when He's going to come, but it looks like it's going to be soon. It looks like all the signs are showing. Amen. Jesus said that before He comes back, nation will rise against nation. There'll be wars. Now, that has happened in our generation, or not our generation, not mine also, but we have seen World War I, amen, at the turn of the last century, and then we have seen World War II. That's never happened before. Amen. World wars. And then we see the increase of great earthquakes. Jesus said, great earthquakes, not small earthquakes, more than a 6.5 on the Richter scale. We see that happening now almost every month. Amen. And plagues, pestilences in different places. These things are not from God. He's just telling you what's going to happen because the devil is so afraid at what is coming. He knows that the day of vengeance upon him. Amen. And also upon all those who reject Jesus Christ. Because, the grave, death and hell is something that God hates. God never meant for man to go there. In fact, God calls death an enemy. God told Adam, don't eat of that fruit. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. See, God's heart is not for man to die, but God gave man a choice. You can say, well, why didn't God stop man from eating that fruit? Well, if God can stop man from eating that fruit, God can stop man from doing anything. Wherein then is the free choice that man was given by God? Amen. God gave man the free choice. God doesn't want a robot loving him. God wants a man to love him because he wants to love him. Amen. We choose to worship the Lord today because we want to worship him. But imagine a robot. Pray, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. You know, you think God wants that? You want someone like that? I know that does that to come Korean dramas with robots love, falling in love and all that, but I'm talking about someone loving you, being married to someone who's a robot. Pastor Prince, I think I'm married to someone who's like a robot. I'm talking about real, you know, so He gave us a free choice. Amen? Amen? Right now, you can stand up, like some of you are doing, and going to the kitchen to get your special drink. No one can stop you, right? Amen? You have a choice. So God will always respect man's free choice. But you cannot change the result of your choice. If you choose rebellion, the result is death. You choose obedience, the result is life. So God told Adam, don't eat from the tree. So we all know the story. Adam gave up God. He gave God up. People say, you know, God gave Adam up for one fruit. No, God. Adam gave God up. Let's put it right. Amen. For one fruit. Amen. So death came in. Amen. That cannot be changed. So death is total. You know, the coronavirus thing, people are not so afraid of the, you know, it's not so much of the virus itself. It is, they're afraid of death. Everybody is afraid of death. So the Christian posture is that death is behind us. Sin is behind us. Doesn't mean we are sinless. I'm saying that in God's perspective, amen, all sins are forgiven. When we died with Christ, we were crucified with Christ, we were buried with Christ. That's the end of our sinful nature. We were crucified at the cross. So to faith, not to experience, but to faith, it is a done deal. But to experience, we still experience, you know, like traits of a sinful nature, but we got to walk in faith. We got to walk by faith and not by experience, not by sight. And there are times, perhaps some of you feel like, you know, God is so far away. What is that? A feeling. You're not to walk by sight, by sense, by taste, by smell. You are to walk by faith. Yes. Say, Pastor Prince, sometimes I don't feel like God loves me. You know what? He does. And He doesn't just love you. He loves you even as He loves Jesus. John 17. Very clear. I can't fathom that still. It's wonderful that God loves me and I believe He loves me very much. But to love me the way He loves Jesus? Wow. That's amazing. Amen. The same Jesus that when He came out of the rivers of Jordan, the Bible says that God opened the heavens to Him and said, "You are my beloved Son. In You I'm well pleased." That same Jesus, God loves Him. With that love, with the same love, God loves me. Amen. Doesn't love me any less. Doesn't love you any less. Praise the Lord. He loves you even as He loves Jesus. Amen. And God gave Jesus up. Amen? You know, we love our children, but I think none of us will give our children up for a criminal, for someone who is against you, who is really evil towards you even. But God sent His Son, not to die for friends even, but to die for His enemies. Because all sinners rebel against God. We became His enemies. Not that He made us His enemies. We made ourselves His enemies. And He sent His Son to die for us. His Son said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And that's why worship is just reminding the Father of Jesus. It's bringing, you know, this everything about Jesus, every moral feature, every moral glory, all His moral excellence exudes a fragrance to the Father. When He walked on earth, every thought, every word, every deed, it's like a fragrance. It's like frankincense going up to heaven. And that's why God says, bring the meal offering, the fine flour. It's so fine. And this fine flour, by the way, is not something that you sift to get the fine flour. Many a times, to get fine flour, you have to sift it. But there's a quality of flour that is already fine. It's very rare. The Lord didn't have to be sifted like you and I. We have to be sifted. He is fine flour. Amen. There's no characteristic in Him that is disproportionate. Not one moral feature outweighs another. Everything is in perfect proportion. Amen. When you put your fingers through fine flour, it just runs through your fingers. It's so fine flour. It's altogether lovely. And then the Bible says in this meal offering, put oil on it. Don't forget, and in this oil, in this meal offering, there are two things they do with it. They mingle it with oil, and then they anoint it with oil. After they bake it, they anoint it with oil. Notice Jesus was mingled. He was conceived in the Holy Spirit, in a virgin's womb. And then at the age of 30, when He came out of the rivers of Jordan, He was anointed with oil. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, God says, every time you bring the burnt offering, bring also the meal offering, the flour offering. And that flour offering reminds you of Jesus. And there's something else they do on the flour. Besides putting oil on it, they put frankincense on it. So that every thought of Jesus, every word that He spoke when He was on earth, exudes a fragrance of rest to the Father. No one pleased the Father the way Jesus did. And God gave Him up for you. That's how much God loves you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Exciting, amen? Now, it's all about Jesus, people. It's all about Jesus. So we look at what is happening in the world today, in the first part of the world. It's like God is bringing us to the first floor, and He's opening up the first floor and says, not to worry, the grain, there's plenty of grain, wine, and oil. There's plenty of grain, wine, and oil. So if you feel that you're not well, whether it's from the virus or not, doesn't really matter. Go get the grain, the wine, and partake of it. Amen. Amen. There's only one statement in the entire Psalms about Melchizedek. In fact, Melchizedek appears one time in Genesis 14 and then one time in Psalms 110. But in Hebrews 7, God has a whole chapter about him, and God is saying, Melchizedek is the priesthood of my son. Amen. It's a priesthood that never ceases. In the priesthood of Levi, the Levitical priesthood that came with the law, that priesthood blesses you. Amen. You are blessed. It says when you're under the priesthood, you are blessed when you obey, but you are cursed when you don't. But the priesthood of Melchizedek, what came out of Melchizedek's mouth when he brought the bread and wine to Abraham was this: blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, and blessed be the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. No curse, just blessing. And that's the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ today. Can I have a good amen? Hallelujah. And what did Melchizedek bring in that one moment when he appeared? And he's a picture of our Lord's priesthood today. He brought bread and wine. And the response of Abraham was the tithe. So the tithe was way before the law. Amen? You don't have to tithe. The tithe is something that is a revelation that when you have it, you want to tithe. Amen. Amen. The tithe is nothing more than saying, I know you. You are the source of my victory over my enemies. You are the source of all my supply. Amen. And the grain and the wine, and the Lord says, for the lack of discerning the bread, amen, for the lack of discerning that, many in the church are weak and sick, and they die prematurely. They fall asleep. You see, for the Christian, the Bible doesn't say you die. Even if your heart stops beating before Jesus comes back, amen, the Bible used the word for the believer, he falls asleep. It's just like falling asleep, and you wake up. In fact, your heart stopped beating. Right now, my heart stopped beating. God forbid, it won't happen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. With long life, God satisfies me. But for illustration, if my heart stopped beating right now, it drops right here, I'll never be more alive. In fact, I feel so free because this attractive body here is, no matter how, it is still restrictive. It still holds you back. Amen. Amen. We have grown accustomed to living with the defects of our body. We don't realize when the moment your heart stops beating, it's like falling asleep. But you step out to be with Christ, to depart from the flesh, and to be with Christ is far better. Amen. Right? But meanwhile, Paul says to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So don't take off just yet. Amen. Don't take off just yet. But Jesus has conquered death. Death holds no fear or terror for the believer. Can I have a good amen? So he's opening up the grain, the wine, and the oil to all of us. And who would have thought in the year of time and space that time all over the world is not just in our church. The theme of the year, it seems, is not just for our church. It's for the entire world. When time is now so restricted, time is now so constrained. Am I right? People are feeling time is so slow. They want this coronavirus thing to be over. And many people who are workaholics right now, especially, they are suffering. Some of them do not know what to do at home because they are such workaholics. You know, they need to do something. And when they are quarantined, oh, that is suffering. Amen. It is like time is moving so slow all over the world. If only they can accelerate time to the end of this coronavirus thing. Right? What about space? Space is definitely restricted. You can't just freely travel anywhere anymore. Can you? No. What is happening? Both time and space are being constrained as far as the world is concerned. But the Lord has spoken to us and said, He is the Lord of time and space. Amen. And we have seen the Lord accelerate time. We have seen the Lord add time. We have seen the Lord remove time. Amen. Sometimes some days are like so long, and some days are so fast, and you can tell the Lord. And you know, Lord, just give me for this day, Lord, lengthen the day. And He can do it. He can do it. The Bible says that the blessings of God includes length of days and long life in the book of Proverbs. And in the same verse, it says length of days and long life. So obviously, long life means you live long. Yes, but what about length of days? That means your days are long. When you have a good day, you want it to last long. When you have a bad day, you want to get it over with. So we see time and space being affected, but we are not people of the world. We are not people of the world. We have the Lord of time and space. And in his first two miracles, the Lord turned water into wine. Now, for you to get wine, how long does it take? When I was in Israel, I found out. It confirmed what I have been preaching for years. There's a man there that owns a vineyard, and he confirmed it takes about 3 years to get a good fruit out of the vineyard. Amen? You might have some earlier, but to get good fruit, you got to have 3 to 4 years. Then after that, you can produce wine, but it won't be quality wine. It won't be good wine. You got to wait for another 2 to 3 years again to get good wine. But to get excellent wine, you got to, after the wine is manufactured and all that, you got to keep that wine. Usually people keep it in the cellar, right? And the longer the wine matures, the better it is. You have excellent wine. And what happened at the wedding was that they ran out of wine. And it's an embarrassing thing for Jewish families, right? In Bible times especially, even now also, but especially when the wine runs out, because wine is a symbol of joy in Bible times. So it ran out. It's like their joy ran out on their wedding day. And of course, Jesus turned the water into wine. And the master of ceremonies said this, told the man, the groom, you know, most people serve wine, the good wine first. And then when people are drunk, they can drink anything. Not even wine, they will drink it, right? Because they're drunk. But you have kept the best wine, even until now. Amen? So the Lord, what the Lord did was that he took something that will take what? 7 years? 8 years? 10 years to get good wine? 20 years? The longer the better. Amen? And he constrained it into one fell swoop because he's the Lord of time. Amen. Can I have a good amen? Amen? What about space? The next miracle, the Bible tells us this is the first miracle. He turned water into wine, showing that he's the Lord of time. Amen? And he has the times of your life in his hands. Amen? You can talk to him. You can tell him to accelerate time for you. Amen. And to facilitate time for you, to add time in your life. He is the Lord of time because he lives outside time. God is not within time. God created time. That's why the cross is outside time. He died for all those before and he died for all those in the future. Amen. Because as far as God is concerned, it's as if Jesus just died. And one of the ways we take communion is always to take it fresh. When we come to the Lord, we take it as if he just died just now. Amen. One of the principles of receiving the peace offering, the Bible says, don't let it last more than 3 days. Stay close to the sacrifice. Amen. Keep it fresh. So most people take it like he died 2,000 years ago. No, no, no. As far as God's concerned, he died just now. Outside time. Take it fresh. I always like to tell him, Lord, I'm receiving these elements fresh from your hands. I'm receiving them as from your hands. It's fresh. And when I say by your stripes, it's just as if he took the scourging just now. Amen. Amen. Do it in that way because he's the Lord of time. Amen. The next miracle, space, was when he was back in Cana, the same place where he turned the water into wine. And a man came to him and said, his son is sick, a nobleman. And Jesus says, go your way, your son lives. Now, from Cana where Jesus was, and the father came to Jesus in Cana, the son was in Capernaum. That's about 40 over kilometers, about 25 miles. So when Jesus says, go your way, your son lives, we know that the man spent the night in Cana. That shows faith. He didn't have to go back immediately. He stayed overnight. Because why? The Lord has spoken. Friends, the Lord has spoken to us. He says, Psalms 91, surely, not maybe, not perhaps, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. This is definitely a perilous, a dangerous pestilence, right? Surely he shall deliver you. Not maybe, surely. Amen. In fact, of all the verses in Psalms 91, that's the one he punctuates. He starts off with, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Let's rest in that. Amen. And when the father came home, the next day, the father found the son was well. And he asked the servants, when did it happen? The servant says, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the father realized there was a precise 1 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday. They said, so yesterday was the time when Jesus spoke that word at 1 o'clock. So he's the Lord of space, time and space. Amen. The five components of science. Amen. It says what? Time. Then you have force, motion, space, matter. All science is built on this. And the very first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, time. Force, the greatest force. We know he's not a force, he's a person, but he has the greatest force, God. Motion, created, space, heavens, earth, matter. See, the Bible is accurate. You know, the Bible doesn't confirm science. Science confirms the Bible. Amen. Amen? So Jesus is the Lord of time and space. And today I want to share something else with you that I think is going to bless you. It's going to help you a lot. And let's look at the Lord, because it's, every time we look at the Lord, you know, people, we need to look at the Lord more during this time than ever. It's one thing to look at the headline news to know, you know, what to prepare for. And that's the reason why we have all this live streaming and all that, because of the announcement. We have to be kept abreast of what is happening, but not the details. Not what is happening down here, what is happening to this celebrity, what is happening to this person over here. And I mean, do you have time for celebrities? Do you have time to follow them? It's amazing how people have time. You are constricted in time, and you're still taking time for things that don't really matter. Preach it, Pastor Prince. Amen. Spend your time for things that really can feed you, strengthen you, bless your family. Amen. Bless your community. Amen. And we're taking time. It's okay to watch dramas and, you know, watch Netflix and things like that. But really, time is constrained. And before you know it, you're tired. And you have not spent time in the Word, which is bread indeed. You've not spent time with the Lord, which is life and drink indeed. Amen. 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 Labor not for things that does not satisfy. Labor for the meat, for the food that He will give to you, that endures unto everlasting life. That's real food. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. In John 6, we have a beautiful story here of Jesus multiplying the loaves and fishes, and many of you know that. Let's go to the story itself. Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. Sit down. Much grass. Does that remind you of something? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now notice that the word sit down, if you look up the Greek, sit down is the word recline. That's how they eat in those days. In Bible times, when they eat, right before they eat, they recline. Amen. We have a picture of the Last Supper. Notice Jesus is kneeling down, but look at on the right of Jesus, that's probably John, he's reclining. The rest of them are reclining. That's what they do in those days. One day, scientifically, they will find out that this is very good for your system, maybe. Whatever the Bible adopts is always something great. They will find out about that one day. Amen? But they recline. So remember this. Position before provision. Position before provision. But what position is it, Pastor Prince? Must I really be in a place where God will be so pleased with me that He will supply me? And No. The position is just nothing more than rest. Sit down. Recline. Amen. First thing you do, John 6, make the people sit down. Before there can be provision, there must be a sitting down. There must be a rest. I want to provide, but I cannot provide for people if they are running around. Amen. Running around ragged, stressed, looking for answers. I can only help them if they sit down. Mary sat down. Martha was busy with her hands and feet. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. But when you sit down and you receive the supply, then your hands will know what to do. Then your feet will know where to go. And you'll do the right thing at the right time because you have sat down. And the very first thing, and I love this because it says, now there was much grass in the place. The Holy Spirit had to mention that detail. There was much grass. It's like, do you know who this person is? He's the one that David spoke of in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. I think some of them there may realize, perhaps John the apostle, someone else over there might, hey, this is so familiar. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So even then, when the Lord makes you lie down, if you're a sheep and you lie down in green pastures, that means what? You are lying down in the midst of abundance of food. For you, okay, it's like, sit down in the abundance of rice, ramen, chapati, bread. I don't know what's your favorite, but burgers all around you. Amen. He makes me lie down in the midst of burgers. It's like they kind of, for them, they understand that analogy because it's like, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He's my shepherd, so I'm his sheep. He makes me lie down in the midst of abundance. I need not worry about supply. I need not rush out there with all the rest of the people like their chickens, like chickens with their heads cut off. All right, grabbing every toilet paper I can find because I'm sure that he can supply me toilet paper. If he feeds the birds of the air and clothe the lilies of the field, I'm sure he knows how to clothe me. And I'm sure that he knows how to keep me clean. Amen? So what's my part? What's my part? My part is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not my righteousness, his righteousness, which is a gift. And all these things, plus toilet papers, will be added unto you. Okay, so let's not panic. Let's not worry. Let's not, you know, just stop. Shh. Sit down. Every fresh challenge should cause you to sit down. Position before provision. Amen? And, you know, the Bible tells us that the very first thing about Psalms 91 is that he who dwells in the secret place, check out the Hebrew word. It says, yashav. Yashav means sit down. Look at Psalms 91. He who dwells, yashav, sit down in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So the very first thing you do is not just I claim Psalms 91, I claim this, I claim that. But you are doing it in stress. You are doing it worried. You know, every morning if you can, spend time with the Lord and just, I like to say this to the Lord. Father, I thank you that my son Justin, my daughter, my wife, myself, I also pray for all of you, okay? At another time. But when I'm lacking in time, I pray for protection for my family and myself. I say that thank you that every one of us is now in Christ risen at your right hand, Father. And I stop for a while. Thank you, Father, we are in Christ risen, safe and secure. Far above. Because God has placed Jesus. When he raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, he exerted the greatest power there is. All the Greek words for exousia, dunamis, anageo, all the different words is used when it says the Father raised Jesus from the dead. And the power is now in us because we are in Christ. Our history started in Christ, started when we were at the, and when he was at the cross. That's when God placed us there. Not when he was walking by the shores of Galilee. God didn't put us in him. It was at the cross. We were crucified with him. We died with him. We were buried with him. And now we are raised with him. Amen. Not only raised with him, Ephesians 2. God who is rich in mercy because of his great love. I love this. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up what? Together with Christ. And made us, what? Sit together. Again, made us what? Sit together. He made us sit together. You know, this word made us, it's like, it's amazing, you know. It's like what I shared last week about the banquet. All things are now ready. And people began to give excuses. They don't even want to come. Imagine, salvation is ready. Amen. Intimacy with the Father is ready. All these are gifts to be taken, to be enjoyed. The food is ready. And they begin to make excuses. It's amazing. Man is, and God says, compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. And the last part, he says, go to the highways and the hedges. The hedges are the last ones, which is the, I believe, prophetically, it is the iron curtain, Russia, and the bamboo curtain, China. God is moving right now in China and Russia in a mighty way. And when that happens, we know it is end time, harvest. Amen. Amen. Go and compel. Notice this word, compel them to come in. What is it? I must compel you to be healed. Compel you to be saved. Compel you to have peace of mind. Compel you to enjoy all the good things that spread out at the master's table. What is man that man has been compelled? For their benefit, this food, you know, if I tell you there's free food, there's a lot of food, Singaporeans. You know, more than 10 course, 50 course. All the best hawker centers, we've gone to the best of them, and the best is here. The best nasi lemak in town as well. Come, all things are now ready. What do? You come. You don't make excuses. Something about man, they want to earn their way. There's this hankering after the flesh. One reason why people are hankering after the flesh is because they want pride. They want glory. They don't want free stuff. Hey, free doesn't mean cheap. If God spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? Our forgiveness is free, but it cost God his son. It cost Jesus untold suffering and misery. And in a sense, because, let me tell you something real, like a bit mysterious. I don't want to sound mysterious, but in a sense, because God is outside time, Jesus still feels the pain of what he went through at the cross. Because there's no time. It's like everything is fresh. Everything is, we do not know how much God suffers. For God the Father to see his son suffering, he said, but God turned his back on his son. God forsook the sacrificial victim. God forsook the burnt offering. God forsook the son who was a sin offering at that time. As God, he turned his back. As Father, Jesus was never more pleasing. The Father, Jesus himself said, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life. Now, the Father always loved Jesus, but there's a fresh impetus, a fresh cause for the Father to love Jesus. What did Jesus say? Therefore does my Father love me because I lay down my life. I'm telling you, when Jesus was at the cross, because of obedience to the Father, because he loved the Father, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. The Father, I'm telling you, the Father has such delight in Jesus. As Father, even when, as God, he turned his back because he was dealing with the victim, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial victim. But when he turned his back, as Father, he must have wept. Jesus was never more pleasing to the Father than when he was there at the cross. You understand that? It probably is a mystery for many of us, but as God, he turned his back. As Father, Jesus was never more delightful. So this same Jesus, I love talking about Jesus. Amen? And I'm telling you, that's what the church needs to talk more about during this time, not the virus. Okay, back to this again. Praise God. So he made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So remember, God raised Jesus as far above all principality. Not just far, not just above, but far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And don't forget, when God raised Jesus far above all this, we were raised in Jesus. We were in Christ. So in the morning, I like to say things like, Father, thank you that my family and I, we are in Christ risen. And I stop for a while and I just rest. It's not a matter of, I claim this, I claim that. It's a relationship. This is not you use like, I've said my Psalm 31, huh? God, don't forget. It's not a matter of that. It's a relationship. I pause and ask myself, am I seated or am I in stress? Am I worried? I'm about to go out. Am I anxious? Or am I seated? And I say this, Father, because I'm seated in Christ risen. My family and I, we are in Christ risen. Thank you, Father, that we are far above all principality and power. And sometimes I pray for the church. Thank you, Father. No COVID-19 virus will come near any of them. Yes. Amen? Amen? Now, the church is made up of people who are members, people who are members beyond the members, and then there are people who are regular attendees, and then there are those who come once a while when the moon is blue. You know? So I when I pray, I do not know which one God takes, you know, but I know that I'm praying for my church. That they're in Christ risen, Father. Far above, and I say this, far above the COVID-19 virus. Yes. Amen? Then you understand the spirit of Psalms 91. But if you say, Pastor Prince, Psalms 91, back to Psalms 91. Psalm 91 is for those who are in a special place with God. So what is a special place, bro? Those who are intimate with God. And I assume you are. Amen. They always believe they are the ones. A special place. How? What must you do to get into the special place? Well, you know, that you must listen to my teaching. No, don't listen to people like that. It's as simple as the New Testament. We are the dream of the psalmist to be seated in the secret place. Who is the secret place? It's the place of the Messiah. He was hidden. The Messiah was hidden. But today is our reality. Their dream is our reality. We are now in Christ risen. Even from the least to the greatest, not just the Pastor Henrys and the Billy Grahams, you know, but every one of us, even the least, who might have the least knowledge even, they just have to realize they are in Christ risen. Amen. Can I have a good amen? Amen? Amen. Now, growth is something else, but you need to know that's where you start. We don't, Christianity doesn't start like this. All right, I'm not complete yet. There are a lot of defects in my character and all that. And that's the place. The finishing post is the completeness in Christ. And Christian life is me walking every towards that. No. Christian life starts with you are complete in Christ. Now, to faith, that is true. To God's eyes, that is true. To experience, it may not seem true. But we walk by faith. Not by experience, not by sight. Amen. So we are complete in Christ. Now God says, now walk out your completeness. Amen. You are righteous. Now walk it out. Amen. And watch this. For those of you who know the truth that Jesus also took our diseases in Isaiah 53 at the cross, you are healed. Now walk it out. Act like a healthy person. All right? Now watch this. Watch this. You are also protected. Nothing to do with your merit. Nothing to do with your deserving. Now you know what? Act like a protected person. Act like a protected person. Now, don't do stupid stuff. Don't say, the guy's coughing, I'm going to stand in front of him and act protected. That is called act stupid. All right? Amen? We still got to remember the winding stairs? Why did God put the winding stairs from in all the three floors? There's a winding stairs that brings you to a higher place because you can't see the front. You can't see the end. A winding stairs is like follow the Spirit one step at a time. One step at a time. Amen. The winding stairs is actually gaining the maximum height in the smallest possible space in the least of time. Amen. As we follow the Spirit, before you know it, you're up there in a larger place. And the reason back to Ephesians 2 again, he made us sit together, drop down to verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show. God is going to show us. There's a show waiting for us. The reason God made us sit down is not for us to do. It is for us to see. See what? That in the ages to come, not just the church age. That's why grace goes on beyond the church age. Yep. That in the ages to come, he might show what? The exceeding riches of his grace. Whoa! We thought we have seen it. God says, no, it's only the tip of the iceberg. Amen. I'm going to show you in the ages to come the exceeding riches of my undeserved, unmerited favor that I have for you. Amen. There's going to be a show. That's why we are sitting. The more you sit, the more you will see grace. Amen. The more you sit, the more you rest, the more you will see grace. Amen. Amen? So with every fresh challenge, God says, sit down. Amen. What does God say? Sit down. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Now, the Hebrew word for sitting down is the word yeshav. Back to Psalms 91. Show them Psalms 91 first. All right. The word dwells there, yeshav. Sit. Look at yeshav. Learn this. Hebrew is from right, reading from right to left. Yud, Shin, Bet. Shin Bet is their internal security, by the way. Shin Bet. All right. Yud, Shin, Bet. Yishav, say Yishav. Yishav. Yud, Shin, Bet. That's the word used for sit down. Now watch this. Yud, Shin, Bet. Okay, go back to the verse again. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word abide is the word spend the night. Is it a night season now? God says, those who are seated with me under the shadow will enjoy the protection. Shadow is always a picture of protection. And here, the two names of God are used. In the secret place of Elyon shall abide under the protection, the shadow of the Shaddai. Same God. Amen. Look at the interlinear, the Hebrew. The Hebrew says this, your ship, the seat comes first. Now in the Hebrew, they usually put the very first word is the emphasis of the entire verse. So sitting comes first. Can you see that? All right, it doesn't sound like it's flowing in English, but this is the way it's written in the Hebrew, in the Hebrew Bible. It says Yoshef, Yishav, right? Yoshef. And the dot will make them pronounce it differently. Okay? Yoshef, he that dwelleth in the secret place. And the Lord spoke to me and said, not only you begin by sitting. Pastor Prince, don't touch your face. Okay, thanks for your reminder. The more I tell my son, don't touch your face, after for a while I see he touch his face. That's the principle of the law. Have you noticed that? So I told him, hey, every time you want to sneeze, huh? I love the way you look when you do the dab. So every time now he sneezes, he does the dab. He does the dab. You know, I think there's a way of talking to your children without putting the law on them. Amen. Because the law, you know, stirs up. Nothing wrong with the law, it stirs up. Yeah, don't, and people feel like right now, don't. I know you're feeling itchy in your nose, right? But don't do it. Don't. And then you start feeling the itch. Okay. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. And what the Lord said to me was that you all know Bible quotes, right? When there are words hidden, for example, in a sentence, they can be like your name. Your name is Joe. All right. So 1, 2, 3, J. 1, 2, 3, O. 1, 2, 3, E. Now you cannot find that in every sentence. Amen. Now I'm not a Jewish person, right? But I've learned some Hebrew, and when God speaks to me and He will tell me something, I'll check it out. Like He will tell me, I didn't receive this from a book or whatever. I got this from the Lord, and this is what the Lord said to me. You don't only start sitting down; you end up with sitting down. It's in this verse. I said, how do you see that, Lord? And He showed me this. See the last verse, shall abide. Shall abide comes last, you know, in this verse. Notice under the shadow, okay, show them the interlinear with the first code. Yud, can you see the yud there? The yud there in the abide? All right, watch this. 1, 2, 3, shin. 1, 2, 3, bet, shin, yashef. Yud, shin, bet, yashef. So God hides sitting down, all right? It's always equidistant, which means you start with five, it's gotta be next one, next five. It's gotta be five all the way. You start with nine, it'll be nine all the way. You understand? You cannot be, so that's code. God hides code in the Bible as well. Amen? For those who wanna dig deeper, but I can't find this unless He speaks to me. He'll tell me it's there. So now you start your life and your life seated down, and you still continue sitting down at the end. This is in reverse. Yishav in reverse, right? Amen? Am I right? Are you blessed?
Yes.
There's something else that the Lord said to me in that verse. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. How many want that to be real in your life?
Yes.
How many want that? Because, you see, sometimes God knows that people will doubt. So of all the verses in Psalms 91, he starts off that verse with, surely, don't doubt, surely He shall deliver your children. Surely He shall deliver you. Amen? Surely. Just like in the work of Jesus on the cross in Isaiah 53, He was wounded for our transgressions. It's easy for people to believe that. Even many denominational Christians. They believe that. But where they have a problem with is Jesus took our diseases. They'll say they'll fight you on that. They disagree with you on that. But notice, he was wounded. The word surely doesn't appear. He was crushed for our iniquities. The word surely doesn't appear. Where the word surely appears, because God knows that people will believe this, that he took our sins. No problem for the body of Christ as a whole to believe that. But where it comes is the whether he took our diseases. That's where the devil fights, because the devil doesn't want you to enjoy his life and wholeness and health, even on earth. God wants you around longer, you know. If you die, you go to heaven, that's it. Yeah, you're in heaven, yes. You lazy fellow. All right. But there's work to be done down here. There are souls to be won. Amen? Amen. So God wants us to live long. Amen? Amen. Unless you're called to be a martyr, which is a gift given to a few, we can pray for you, you know? But not everyone is dead. And God wants you to live long because at the end of Psalm 31, it says, with long life will I satisfy him. And what's the purpose? And show him my salvation. So the word salvation ends off the entire Psalm 31. It's the name Yeshua. The name of Jesus ends off the entire. So there are five names of God in the entire Psalm 31. Most High, Elyon. Shaddai in verse 1. Shaddai. He is my God, Elohim. I will say of the Lord, Yahweh. And with long life, I'll satisfy him and show him my Yeshua, my salvation. Amen. Five, number of grace. So we have Simeon, who came to the temple when baby Jesus was brought. And the Bible says that this man was told by God, this prophet Simeon, you will not see death until you see Yeshua. So he was living the life of Psalms 91. No disease could take him. No accident can remove him from earth until he saw Jesus. So I believe there's a principle there in the second coming of Jesus. This is the first coming. Second coming of Jesus. The more you see Jesus, the more you live. No evil shall befall you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting excited. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So where in Psalms, in Isaiah 53, it says, surely he bore our diseases and carried our sicknesses. That's where you find it, surely. Because God knows that people will doubt that. So God puts down there, surely he has borne our diseases and carried our pains. And that's in the original. Amen. If not, Matthew 8:17 quotes Isaiah saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Very clear, the context is physical healing. Amen. It is your portion. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, go drop down to verse 3. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. And again, the father spoke to me and said, you know, son, it is there. Sit. I said, what? Sit. And I began to search it. Again, show them sit in Hebrew, yeshaf, yud, shin, bet. Don't forget that, okay? Now, show them the Hebrew for verse 3. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence or noisome pestilence. Now, watch this. Look at the word fowler. Can you see the yud there? The yud there? Count forward. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Yeshaf. Yeshaf, sit. If you want God to deliver you, sit. It's like stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not, Israel. The battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. Just like the tithe is the Lord's. It's not that 10% is not ours. It is the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. Don't touch it. Then what do I do? Position yourself and see the salvation of the Lord. In fact, the word down there, the Lord shall fight for you. Moses told the people, the Lord shall fight for you and the Lord will save you. The word save there is the name of Jesus, Yesha. Yeshua is the full name, is a noun. Yesha is used so frequently in the New Testament for save, deliver, rescue, protect. Yesha. And you know what I found out when the Lord impressed on me again to study Yesha? I never bothered to study. I know it's rescue, deliver, protect, salvation. In the Greek, it is sozo, right? And when I studied Jacinius' lexicon, this is what Jacinius said. Yesha means to be spacious, ample, broad. Figuratively, to be opulent. The signification of ample space. Do we need that now? In Hebrew, applied to liberty, deliverance from dangers and distresses. As on the other hand, narrowness of space is frequently used of distresses and dangers. And this reminds me straight away when I read that, the name of Egypt, God brought his people out of Egypt. In Hebrew, it's Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim is plural. It means double crampedness, double straightness, double stress, a cramped place. Not just a cramped place, double cramp. A constraint of space. God brought them out to a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. The world is now, spiritually speaking, is in Egypt. Amen. Hallelujah. And he wants Yasha. Who have thought Yasha, you know, in the year of time and space, that the Lord had me study this and found out the word Yasha, which is used for safe, rescue, deliver. And the name of Jesus, Yeshua, is from Yasha. Amen. Yasha is the verb. Yeshua is the noun. Who would have thought it implies space, ample space? Oh. I don't know about y'all back home, but can y'all take it? Amen. God is so good. I feel like we're having a smorgasbord of delicacies. And praise God. Go back to Psalms 91, verse 3. Okay, so we have Yashaf. You saw Yashaf just now, right? Show them the interlinear. The interlinear, verse 3. Yashaf, right? So Yashaf. I want to show you something. Also, if you want to study where the quotes appear, not, it's very interesting where the quotes appear. Like, for example, Yashaf, the first letter, Yud, appears in the fowler. Yakosh in Hebrew, fowler. Fowler is a person who sets a trap, whether for a bird or anything else. We know it's the devil. The fowler here is the person, is the devil. How does he set a trap? Because sit appears there, that means when you're not seated, he lays a trap. Or you can see it this way, he traps you when you're not at rest. So every movement is there you say you are healed. You still feel the pain. You still feel the pain, right? Your first response is, no, I'm seated in Christ. I'm not trying to be healed. I am healed. Yeah. This is a lying symptom. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a feeling, and I walk by faith, not by feeling. Amen. It's a lying symptom. You're not trying to be healed. You are here, not trying to be. You are healed. And the devil is trying to convince you to lay a trap, right? To try to move you out of your rest, to move you out of your place of rest. Rest is very important, no? In fact, the Bible tells us the final reason why God removed Israel. Israel had all kinds of, they were not perfect in the land. Even after they had temple, they had their kings and all that, they were not perfect. They had many, many sins. But there are two sins that caused them finally to be removed. One was idolatry. They exchanged gods. As long as they were under the covenant, amen, even though they were bad, their behavior wasn't altogether there. We all know that for a fact, amen. But God was still keeping on blessing them. He kept on keeping on, you know, rescuing them, delivering them, protecting them. But the moment they exchanged gods, all right, that was the thing. Idolatry. Number two, God gave the reason by the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah that the reason God removed them for 70 years in Babylon is because they did not rest in the Sabbath year. Your body is made of dust. People don't like to hear that, but you know when our carcass is burned up, what do you have? Dust. Dust to dust. Now, God made us, the real us. We are in the body. Our body is of dust, but the real us is of God. God breathed into man. And that's why when the body decays, the heart stops beating, you step out of the body, my friend, you're still alive. And that's why there must be a place to house spirits. You are a spirit, you are alive. And hell was never designed, was never created for men. It was created for the devil and his angels, Jesus said. But if you follow the devil, even though you don't believe in him, you follow him in your life by rejecting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Listen carefully. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you reject the Lord Jesus, it's not as if, oh, you know, you're on your way to heaven and God gives you a choice. If you accept Jesus, then you continue to walk in heaven or else go to hell. It's not like that. Everyone is on their way to hell. when God sent His Son. His Son rescues us. Amen. Are you listening, people? Amen. There must be a place to house the Spirit, because that part came from God. That part is eternal. And that Spirit that is not born again, that Spirit that's not born again cannot enjoy heaven. It's a different... And, you know, they're not designed to enjoy heaven. Jesus talked a lot about hell. Hell is hell. Amen. The most loving person talk about hell. So there is a hell. Okay? But we're not talking about hell now. We're talking about heaven on earth. Amen. To be in Christ and to be on earth is heaven on earth, man. I'm telling you, praise God. And there is a promise in Deuteronomy. God says that your days may be like days, Deuteronomy 11, I believe it is. Your days may be as days of heaven upon the earth. Amen. Like days of heaven. Amen? Amen? You know, when it comes to an evil day, I love this, you know. One time, the Lord sort of opened my eyes and I saw this in Ephesians 6, that we stand in the evil day. Singular, the evil day. Stand in the evil day. That means it's short. But good days, he that will love life and see good days. Days are plural. Evil day. Good days. Evil day. Good days. Evil day. So this coronavirus thing, evil day. Good days. But the promise is not for the world. The promise is for God's people. He that will love life and see good days. Right? He says, watch your tongue. Amen. Watch your tongue. Right? Praise the Lord. Okay, so we rest. And how many of you would love to see another one of the quote? Is the secret of reversing old age. So let's go to Psalms 92, verse 12 onwards. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Oh, luscious palm tree. Amen. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Palm tree always speaks of fruitfulness. It's very fruitful. Amen. The seeds, very fruitful. Cedar speaks of majesty, speaks of enduring for a long, long time. In fact, I saw a cedar tree that was fallen in Canada one time, and it's about approximately, I forgot what it was, 600, 700 years. It lasts for a long time. And here it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Listen, you must be planted. Planted in the house of the Lord. Amen. Find a good church that preaches the Lord Jesus. Amen. And honors the scriptures. Amen. And get planted there. Those who are planted in the house flourish outside. Courts is outside. If you are planted, you are flourishing. Okay? So, drop down. It says, further, they shall still bear fruit. Now, these are God's people. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. The word flourishing is ranan. It's literally the word green. Green. They remain green. Amen. They are in old age. The age is old. So they say 50 plus in Singapore is old. So, okay, that is called old age. Old age doesn't mean you must be old man. You can have young age and very old. I listen to some people who are young and they murmur, complain. And I look at them, they look old. One of the best ways to become old is complain. By the way, check that verse. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, spend the night. That word literally is the same word used in the wilderness whenever Israel murmured and complained. It's the same Hebrew word. Spend the night and complain is the same word. That means if you complain, you'll spend the night. You'll stay there in darkness. Okay, let's go on. Praise God. Okay, they shall still be fresh and flourishing. Now, why does God want you young, fresh, flourishing? Obviously, God wants it, right? Or else He wouldn't tell us, right? Why? To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there's no unrighteousness in Him. So I'm going to be young to please my Lord. Right? To show the Lord is upright. That's the reason, okay? Are you all with me so far? They shall be fresh. And so if the Bible talks about it, don't let anyone tell you, all this being young stuff and all that, it's good for some of you and all that. But if you don't believe it, don't take it. Yeah. Amen. All things are now ready. You choose what you want. You don't like rice, then take the potatoes. You don't like potatoes, take something else you want. I'll take everything. Amen. And I got a vociferous appetite. Correct? Voracious appetite. Okay. Look at the Hebrew now. Praise God. They shall still bear fruit. Okay. There's no way you can look at the Bible and say, Ishaf is everywhere. It's not. It's not. Unless the Lord tells you, the Lord told me, Ishaf is there. So I look it up. And here you go. The very first ute. Where is it? It's there. In the word what? Green. Ve'rananim, plural, for ranan, green. They shall be flourishing. That's your first yud. Can you see that? Now, to find the chin, go forwards, go nine, or go backwards, nine. One, two, three, four, five, six. All the way to nine, you have the shin. That means what? Now we have done nine, you must do another nine. It cannot be five or three, right? Go another nine. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Bet. Yud, shin, bet in reverse, which means God reverses your old age. By you resting. Now, that means if we don't rest, I don't just mean physically, it'd be good for you to rest at least once a week. Amen? But our bodies, I was saying just now, our bodies are made of, even Israel, supposed to rest the land once every 7 years. They got to rest the entire year. Amen? But once a week as well. They call it Shabbat. They rest their bodies. Amen. And I think that, if you don't, you will rest in a different environment, in a different space. And the doctors will put a sign down there, rest completely. For the nurse all to know that this person needs to rest. Amen? So you have to pick up on all the lost rest. So 70 years, for every seventh year, they didn't let the land rest. And God says the land will rest when you're in Babylon for 70 years. Okay, so sit down, recline, rest. Okay, folks, God reverses your old age. Now, where's the word old age? Where is it? Right in the center. Can you see the word Seba? All right, in Israel today, you say Seba is an old man. Saba. They call someone older man. Saba. Sababa. They call old man Saba. Okay? Even like a word for grandfather. Old age. So, can you say the word old age? In old age, bet, shin, yud. Can you see that? Bet for the word old age, shin, yud. What is that? Is the word yeshaf in reverse? So God wants to reverse your old age. So if it's going straight like normal, chronological order, you will grow old, all right? If you go by the world system, you will grow old. But God says, I'm going to reverse that. And the secret is found in this word. The word old age, when God showed this to me, can you imagine having all this in your study and no one to preach to? I feel like shouting. I feel like screaming. Amen. Amen. So when we don't rest, you will grow old. There is your age based on your birth certificate is a certain age, but bodily you might be younger or older. God really wants to renew your youth like the eagles. Amen. And see, the Bible promises that. And like the eagles, it's a literal renewal. Even Sarah, at the age of 90, kings, they don't go by spiritual eyes. These kings are heathen kings. They go by their physical eyes. They wanted her for their harem. And they're going by their eyeballs. God must have done something in her life that is a physical renewal. Amen. It's not spiritual. It's a physical renewal for heathen kings to be able to see it. So let's believe God for that as well. Amen. That's also on the banquet table. All things are now ready. Amen. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that you will renew the youth, Lord, of those who are watching right now. Strengthen them, Father, and remove from their mouth, Lord, words like I'm getting old. I'm getting forgetful. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you restore all their memory faculties, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray in the name of Jesus that you restore their memory power 120%. I pray, Father, that you renew their youths like the eagles. And I pray in Jesus' name that they will run and not be weary. Even young men and the youth shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I pray in Jesus' name that fresh infusion of life and health come into their bodies right now in Jesus' mighty name. And Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, right now, Father, there's someone who's watching and you are having this, you've been diagnosed with a growth on your chest. In the name of Jesus, we curse that growth right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it dies completely in Jesus' mighty name. And there are those who are watching, you've been having a migraine attacks quite often, and you feel dizzy, and you're afraid to go to the doctor because you fear something in regards to your brain. Right now, in Jesus' name, God is healing you of that condition. You need not worry because it is not a physical condition. It is something that's brought on you through stress. The enemy has been trying his best to deter you, to stop you from fulfilling what God has for you. In Jesus' name, that goes from your life right now. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. All kinds of healings are taking place right now. Amen. Those people that I've mentioned, call out your condition just now. Once you know you are healed, some of you need to go back to the doctor to confirm that. Please write to the church, okay? Send an email, tell us, you know, even if you need to contact someone or whatever, just tell us the story so that we can, you see, stories, testimonies and stories of healings spark faith in other people's hearts as well. That what God did for you, God can do for them. Amen? And they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. They testify to what God has done. They testify to what the blood has accomplished for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give Jesus the praise, the glory, and the honor. Thank you, Father. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. So sit down and receive. Sit and receive. A king rules by sitting down and ruling. Amen. In fact, in Bible times, those who are running around are servants. Those who are running around are people who are... So does that mean, I just want to close with this. Does that mean, Pastor Prince, I don't do anything, you know, I just sit down and do nothing? Somehow people always come to this, some people always come to this conclusion like, it's a lazy life. No, no, no. Friend, when you're seated, the energy, the charismatas that flow, the anointing that comes on you, the power and the energy of the Holy Spirit, not fleshly effort, will start flowing in you. That you will start doing things out of the rest, out of a posture of rest. You start doing things, amen, before you even realize it, it's done in the spirit. Amen. Because you are restful, you're not focusing on the action. Therefore, you don't take the credit. Amen. People who are doing all the time, they are looking at their action. But when you're restful, you are doing things so much more. Like Jesus, you look at the Gospels. I challenge you, read the Gospels and look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus. Never is anyone so busy like our Lord. Amen. One place to another, he went about doing good. I love it. He went about doing good, healing all. And he always has time, not just for the crowd, but for the individual. The woman at the well, the one who was caught in adultery. Amen. Nicodemus, he always has time. It's us who don't have time. Amen. So follow the rhythm of grace. Follow the Lord. Amen. In restful. It means, rest means directed, spirit-directed activity. It is not inactivity. It is spirit-directed activity. But it starts with a posture of rest. So the Bible says, and I close with this verse, show them the verse 11, John 6. It says this, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. The disciples gave it to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish. How much? As much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. And they were sitting down. They ate. Abundance of food is supplied to those who are seated. To those who are restful. There's abundance of food. Amen. You are being served. Today, you are being served. Amen. And how much supply? as much as they wanted. Now, we can get religious and say, well, depending on God's will and all that. But this scripture doesn't say that. The food supply that day was as much as they wanted. The moment they say, okay, I'm full, the supply stopped. When the supply stopped, there were still 12 baskets full left over. Amen. So we limit God. God's supply is unlimited. Amen. We limit the Holy One of Israel. Amen. That's why Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. You know, he never says, oh, you of little fasting. He never says things like, oh, you of little prayer. Although these things are important, he says, oh, you of little faith. Why? Because faith is the hand that takes. Faith is the hand that takes. It's almost as if he's saying, oh, you of little faith. It's like, why do you take so little from me when I'm so full? Why do you depend on me so little when I'm so able to? Why do you depend on your limited resources when I have an inexhaustible supply? And I love you. Oh, you of little faith, why do you take so little? Even his indictments are encouragements. Isn't the Lord beautiful? Amen. Praise the Lord. If you are watching this and you have never received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, I want to give you this opportunity right now. Wherever you're watching this, just take time. If you can, just bow your heads and close your eyes, if you can. And more importantly, pray this from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are my Savior. You came to die on that cross for all my sins. Father, thank you for this gift, your Son, my Lord Jesus Christ, who bore all my sins and my judgment and my condemnation on that cross. He died, but you raised him from the dead. And he's alive today, and I'm in him. Thank you, Father. In my walk with you, there is no time nor space. Right now, I am in Christ, seated far above all principality and power, far above every name that is named, far above the COVID-19 virus. In Jesus' name, Jesus Christ is my Lord. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Give Jesus the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to bless you at this time. Wherever you're watching this right now, we always believe that, you know, we close the service always with a blessing. And that's the way that God's people have been doing it for years, even from Moses' time. Amen. And this is the prayer that they will pray over the people. And God says, pray this prayer over the people, and I'll put my name on them, and I'll bless them. The Lord bless you throughout this coming week, you and your family. The Lord bless you and your little ones. The Lord bless you with the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. The Lord bless you with the blessings of Father Abraham. The Lord bless you richly this week. May the blessings of God manifest. And when you see it, give God all the glory and the praise. The Lord keep you. The Lord preserve and protect you. Surely he shall deliver you, you and your loved ones throughout this week from the COVID-19 virus, from every infection, from every disease, from evil people, from all the powers of darkness, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord lift up his countenance on you, smile on you, and grant to you his wonderful favor, his favor that opens doors of opportunity, doors that is otherwise closed. His favor is upon you. The Lord grant favor to you and your loved ones. In Jesus' name, may you walk in the favor of God everywhere you go. The Lord lift up his countenance on you. The Lord smile on you. And the Lord impart to you and your loved ones his peace, his shalom peace, wholeness, well-being, and health. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. We'll see you again. Until then.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
You are so near to God and so dear to God because you are in Christ. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He is my righteousness. He is my holiness. He is my redemption. He is my wisdom.
For the first time ever, receive Joseph's latest teaching series in both audio and print as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. With these handy and easy-to-read sermon booklets as a study companion, you can now listen to and read the message at your own pace, anytime, anywhere. Receive all that the Lord wants you to have through this special set of resources. And for a gift of $75 or more, you will also receive the DVD album with a real gospel, Please Stand Up. In this powerful resource, join Joseph as he shows you what the gospel is truly all about. Hear the good news and experience the gospel's life-saving power today.
The word gospel from an old English gospel means nothing more than good news. Use your faith to believe every single day that you are righteous by faith. Will the real gospel please stand up?
Get this brand new audio and print teaching series today. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
Well, about 2 years ago, I was just on my couch listening to Christian television and just happened to be flicking through the channels, and there was Joseph Prince. And he was speaking a message about grace, and I've been listening to him ever since, and I've fallen in love with Jesus all over again.
I'm a pastor's son, so, you know, I kind of got out of the way. And through his message, he had brought me back into the path where I should have been from the beginning.
So it's taken us from a real preoccupation with ourselves and given us just an incredible view of Jesus Christ, where we're more thankful, we're more energetic, and we feel just very free.
I used to condemn myself, be so hard on myself, but once I heard the message of grace, it's like, I love it. It's so freeing.
Hey, this is Joseph Prince. I hope you've been blessed by what you've just watched. If you've missed any of this week's episodes or want to catch today's program again, you can head over to josephprince.tv, where you can enjoy all of this week's episodes and access other free content 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anytime, anywhere. God bless you, and I'll see you again soon.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.